I remember, man, my dad being there, man, and I needed him at that time because that's the person that started me on this journey. You know what I mean? Him and my mom, can't forget mom because, man, she's the real deal. But my dad started me on this football journey, and for him to be right there at my lowest, I feel like I was at my lowest right there because I'm like, dang, I'm at ground zero once again. Here we go. But he was right there.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, this is the place to hear testimonies of how Jesus became real and changed people's life. Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel and how to become disciple-making disciples. And you can learn more about our ministry at our website at discipleofcity.ca. We can connect with you, send a team out to help your church or organization, and we also have a free video series that you can download. You can find the Toddcast website through that or go directly to at thetoddcast.ca. Catch a link for our latest episodes and see what we are all about in a deeper way. Friends, we're on socials, Facebook and Instagram. Thanks to executive producer Caden Carlton and media relations Sheila Juti. And friends, well, my guest today is originally from Alabama in the good old USA. He is a linebacker. He has played for the Edmonton Elks, the LA Rams, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and is currently playing for the Calgary Stampeders. And he is a recipient of the Stampeders President Ring for 2025. Very honorable. Please welcome Derek Moncrief. Hello, my friend.
Morning, Todd. Thanks for having me. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Wonderful. Blessed. Can't complain.
Amen. It's good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're just talking before we hopped on there. I thought it might be a little bit early for you where you're living, but apparently, as we're doing an early morning recording here, but apparently one plays football, one's up at 4 a.m. working out.
You know, the grind doesn't stop, man. This is year 10 for me. So, you know, I'm trying to stay young in the young man's game, right? So, just trying to turn the clock back
a little bit. Eating well and pumping iron, eh, my friend?
No doubt, no doubt.
That's awesome. And your family's doing well?
Yes, sir. They're doing wonderful, man. My wife Cassia, my two little girls, Minnie and Dolly. We're doing great. We're staying warm in this frigid Saskatchewan weather, but everything's good.
Yeah, we are on a little bit of a warm-up where we are right now, but it's been a cold winter this year in this country all around. Actually, in the U.S. too, it's been cold.
Yeah, it's been everywhere, especially down in Alabama. I called my people, and like a couple weeks ago, everything was freezing and had a couple snow up northern Alabama, so it's been crazy all over, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Derek, yeah, thank you for taking some time to chat with us today. We got to meet a few years back at a youth conference that you were speaking at in Regina, which was awesome. And I've been looking forward to just to hearing your story. So if you could just take us back, Derek, to, to Alabama when you grew up and what that was like for you faith-wise and just as a kid.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. So I was born in Montgomery, Alabama, which is 15 minutes north of my hometown, Prattville, Alabama, the capital. Montgomery, you're talking about Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, such a historic place, probably one of the most historic cities in the world, civil rights era. But yeah, I grew up in Prattville, Alabama, a small town around the size of Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan. But, you know, man, I'm the youngest of three boys, my dad and my mom. And, you know, my family, man, I grew up in the church. I mean, if you know anything about the South, you can envision people going to church every Sunday. Your mama waking you up, your grandpa, your grandma, your granddad's a deacon on a deacon board. My dad was a deacon and still a deacon, right? Just things like that, going to church and, you know, just being raised right. And, you know, while making mistakes too at the same time. And I just thank God for gracing me. Just grateful that I was raised right. My grandmothers, I was able to, meet and know my great grandmothers. Many people can't say that. Going to church with them, sitting down with them, hearing old stories, and still my grandparents, my grandmother's deceased, my dad's mom, but I'm able to, to gain those relationships and, get that wisdom, especially from my granddads and my parents and stuff like that. So for me, just growing up down there, going to Baptist churches, AME Zion churches, you can imagine that. It's some good stuff though. So just kudos to everyone who's imparted wisdom into me. Showed me discipline and how what it takes to to be a godly servant on this earth.
Sorry, did you say Zion Church?
Yeah, AME Zion. Yeah, AME Zion.
Okay,
Yeah.
so I came to faith later in life. Could you just share what that's what is that about? Because you said, can you imagine that? And that's no, I can't. So can you?
AME Zion. Just it's a can't even say it right now, but it's like a certain district or whatever in the church, right? It's a bunch of churches, Baptist and all of that stuff. But just an AME Zion Church, African American church, down in Prattville, Alabama. It's like near downtown, a historic church. So one of the oldest churches in Prattville, Alabama, to be exact. Ward Chapel, AME Zion Church. I used to go to prayer breakfasts with my dad. Talking about a young boy, probably 10, 11 years old, with men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And I'm just there, right? Learning and listening to them, how they plan stuff for the church. And, I really learned as I reflect now, just learning stuff like that about leadership and how men are supposed to be leaders in the church, right? Not that women not, but as men and as leaders of Christ, it's very important for men to be that because young boys look up to men too, right? So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Derek, as you grew up, so I know, and I'm sure lots of people know the South, the Bible Belt, right?
Sure.
But as you grew up, did things, did you always stay relatively grounded? I know we all make mistakes and stuff, but did you stay relatively grounded or people around you? Because people even immersed in that grow and can drift and stuff. As you grew, did you stay pretty much grounded or did people around you drift and you sort of saw that other side too, or?
Well, growing up in an African American community, man, African American community, you're gonna have your ups and downs. You're talking about drugs, you're talking about sex, you're talking about money, you're seeing everything, right? You're seeing prostitution, you're seeing everything it is, right? You're seeing poverty, right? You're experiencing a little of that, right? Staying in the hood. You're gonna take some wrong turns. You're gonna see your friends take some wrong turns. You know what I mean? You're talking about friends starting as soon as we hit junior high, drugs. Right, it's a bunch of ways to get sidetracked, right? I forgot the verse. I was praying with one of my teammates yesterday, and taking a narrow path and a wide path, and that's the thing about it, right? Sometimes I was taking the narrow path, and sometimes I was on the world path, right? Right. For me, it's just all about God's grace. That's all I can really answer to that. You know what I mean? And it's just ups and downs, right? Ups and downs, making decisions, right? But God's bringing me back in with godly counsel around my uncles, my dad, my grandfathers. I got two older brothers, right? So it's a gist of everything.
And I guess too, in a small community, everybody knows everybody. So if people know what you're doing.
Yeah, you get out of line, man. Anybody down there, they can put their foot in your butt. So that's all it is.
How old were you when you sort of really got drawn to football, or was football really big for your family? Is that kind of how that started for you?
Yeah,
I mean,
man. So yeah, actually, man, I'm the youngest of three boys, right? So when we stayed at my grandma's house and we had this railroad track. We stayed on a dirt road at my grandmother's house. I go to my grandmother's house sometimes with my dad and my two brothers, and he trained us, right? And I started playing football at the age of five.
wow.
Right, you talking about learning how to catch a ball. We doing table jumps. We learning how to jump in the air. My dad is he she showed us how to conduct ourselves in interviews at a young age. Right, so imagine that. Right, if I drop the ball, I have to take off and run a lap down the road and come back. Right, so discipline and trying to critique myself at an early age. And I remember when I was younger, man, I told my mom and my dad, I'm going to play in the NFL. I think I wasn't even 10 yet. I might have been 10. And I remember telling them after a football game, I'm going to play in the NFL. And voila, a couple whatever years later, playing on Sundays.
And so they were super obviously supportive and helping you see that dream come true.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I had a long journey. Speaking on college, high school leaving, right? I had to withdraw from my high school. I didn't even graduate from my high school. I had to take a course online to even graduate. You're talking about failing. You're talking about I was probably one of the top-ranked guys in the state of Alabama. Had scholarships from Alabama, but I couldn't go to Alabama at the time, so I had to end up going to a junior college. Right, so the thing in the States is, if you don't qualify for school, right, in the big Division I programs, you have to go to JUCO. So I ended up going to junior college in Mississippi, a couple of hours away, first time, 18 years old, on my own, right? And the first thing my dad gave me when he drops me off, gave me that Bible, what the church gave to me. He said, make sure you pack that Bible. He said, when you want to leave home, when you want to leave to come home, you don't want to go to class, whatever, life's getting in your way, open Proverbs and go to Proverbs 3:5-6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he direct your path straight. And the first time I opened that thing, that gave me revelation to be about God, right? Yeah, to not chase drugs, chase the girls, chase fame, chase any of that. That's what it was all about. And that's my Bible verse to this day, man. Trust in God, right? And with all your heart, right? Your heart gotta be right. And for me as a young man at that age, my heart went right. I'm still working on myself, but at the end of the day, that Bible verse right there, it really set me up to, stay focused on my path.
Yeah. So when you said that with high school, you were playing football in high school and you didn't finish because like colleges wanted you early or what?
Well, I was highly recruited, right? I had scholarship offers, but my GPA wasn't high enough, my grade point average, right? So I wasn't eligible to sign with a Division I program, where I had Kentucky, I had Missouri, Arkansas Razorbacks. I sat down just like this. I sat down with Nick Saban, the great Nick Saban, one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I visited on my junior day. I was in the 11th grade. I remember this visit exactly. 'Cause the great Barry Sanders was there. Me and his son is in the same graduating class. So I sit down with Nick Saban, and it's like, man, we really love you, man. We're evaluating you. We just know about your grade situation. And at the time, the junior college I went to, I found this out later. The junior college I went to, which is Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, in Perkiston, Mississippi, it was a pipeline from Alabama to there, right? So players would go. Players that wasn't eligible for to go to Alabama, they went to Mississippi. Then after a year and a half, they would go to Alabama, or 2 years, whatever it is. So yeah, man, I wasn't able to get that sign that big on signing day. I wasn't able to sign that big letter of intent, right, to go to a big school, but I ended up signing with Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College, and it changed my life.
So what was it like when you were first going there? Like you said, your dad dropped you off. You're on your own, 18. What was that experience like for you, faith-wise? I mean, obviously you're starting to reach your dream, right? You're playing football and all that. But how what was that like? Or was there a lot of Christians at the school? Did you get connected with Christians? Or was that what did that look like for you?
It was a, it was a, it was definitely a challenge. You know what I mean? Because you're talking about young boys, young men from all around, right? A couple of out-of-stater guys. I think it was only a certain amount of guys that's on the scholarship. But you had guys from the state of Mississippi, Louisiana, where I can go on and on. But the faith journey was, it was hard because what guy at 18 in the summertime wants to open up that Bible? Who wants to sit in the group and who's talking about Jesus? That was hard. Maybe one or two guys, right? I had coaches, right? But the coaches were gone sometime, right? So for me, like, I had to buckle down, right? I had a great defensive back coach, Stevon Moore. He played in the NFL, actually. Played under Bill Belichick, Cleveland Browns. Played under Nick Saban, Cleveland Browns. He was very instrumental to me, telling me, always talking to me about life, right? I go sit in his office for hours. We'll talk about God. We'll talk about life. We'll talk about kids, finances. So God, I believe God orchestrated me to be in that place at that time, right? And get that godly counsel and have great teammates where I can go to their houses on the weekend. Right, we go on Monday through Friday, but then Friday through Sunday, I mean, the campus is nobody's there, right? So for me, able to go there and go outside of Mississippi, go in Mississippi within those cities, and go to church, hang out with teammates and stuff like that, man, that was very instrumental to me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So throughout college, then you landed from there into the NFL. Is that right?
No, so crazy, right? So I ended up leaving Mississippi, going to Auburn University, which is the rival to Alabama. And I left Auburn after a year, went to Stillwater, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. Cowboys, graduated in 2016 because I had the red shirt 2015. So I had a red shirt 2015, and then 2016, I ended up playing. I graduated, and then NFL draft comes. It's NFL draft time. All right, and I remember the story at the time. I was watching the draft. I expected I was going to go into the later round, sixth or seventh round. When I get a call and I'm thinking I'm going to the Broncos or to Arizona or something like that. And what's so funny is my teammate that I played with at Auburn University, he ended up going to the Arizona Cardinals. So it was kind of like, dang, man, the draft goes off. I'm with my family there. I take a walk outside. Like, are you serious? I know I'm drafted. I know for a fact I'm that guy. And it didn't pan out like that, right? So I get a call a little bit later from one of my agent guys, and I think I ended up coming to Canada in June. I think it was around my birthday because I turned 24. I turned 24 at the time during training camp, and I get that call, and voila, man, I was there, and just working hard. Even before I got there, I never lost faith, working out 2 or 3 times a day. My dad would always tell me, run, run. And when you get tired, run some more. And that stuck with me, keeping God first. But knowing, man, that, I didn't know what was ahead, right? Coming to Saskatchewan, I didn't even know. All I know was CFL, what I seen on SportsCenter when I was little, or on YouTube. You know what I mean? So.
And did you see the snow? Like that must have been something. Growing up out Alabama in the South, and that's Saskatchewan.
Listen, first time I seen this. Oh my goodness, man! It was so crazy. Oh, it was crazy. You know, you're talking about. We hit the year, my first year, man. We crossed over to the East Final. We were one play away from the Grey Cup. Seeing the snow, all of that stuff, right? Playing in cold weather. Oh man, it was crazy. But what an unbelievable experience playing against Ricky Ray, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in the CFL, right? So, nah, man, it blew my mind. First year blew my mind for sure.
So, are the two leagues connected in the sense that, like, there's a lot of lateral transfers and stuff like that, or not so much, or
well,
like, I just, mean. Are the guys up here totally aware of what's going on and chasing after PBI?
Yeah, for sure. It's more now, right? They got so many leagues, but I would say the NFL and the CFL, you know, if you're good enough, well, nah, I could take that back. Let me say it's a numbers thing, but it's transition. It's all about the age threshold, right? So, and when you get to the NFL, the age is probably guys starting at 20, 21, maybe. And I think the cutoff is 27, 28, the 28 mark, because that's when the body kind of deteriorates, what they say, right? Quote unquote. Right. So it's a threshold. It's like a prime. It's the prime age. And then you got that 20 to 25. That's when you're getting the most out of guys. Right. But if you can come up here, like I got two teammates, man, they're actually just signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Those two guys, Jalen Hutchinson and who else? My other guy. Man. My other guy, God dog, don't you? My brain is blank right now. But yeah, two guys, they just signed with the Minnesota Vikings, man. Yeah, Jacob Robinson, a linebacker and a defensive lineman. You're talking about guys that came to Calgary late in the season in 2024 season. And then they play a full 18 games this year. They're going to the NFL. Right. So you can see prime examples like that. But guys are 26, probably, right? 25 years old. That's the threshold. Right. So it's a business thing, too. Right. Yeah. You don't want to bring the older guys in. But if you're young enough and you can, you know, help with the team or something like that, then they'll bring you in.
You think that threshold has something to do? It's just kind of coming to me. Something to do with injury recovery, because like 28, man, is young, like, and you're still like super fit, and there's NHL hockey players that are playing deep into their 30s, and that's very physically demanding. So do you think it's like because of the contact, maybe it's about like injury recovery too?
It's injury recovery, but they got science now. But it's all about the business, right? It's like the bank. Right. If I'm investing this, if I'm just investing $650,000 to this guy, and I'm investing, let's say, 3.5 to this guy, and that 650 guy, he is really on this guy's heels, but I can't do it because I'm already invested. It's all about the money, right? You know what I mean? It's about the money, it's about the relationships, and really you gotta have a little luck too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't say luck in, well, they say luck in that world, but man, it just all the stars got to align.
Let's totally.
Just
say, totally. So, did you meet your wife in Canada?
I did, man. I met her. I actually seen her at this Athletes in Action. So crazy.
Right?
It's so crazy.
Maybe it didn't have anything to do with Threshold, and maybe the Lord had a plan.
He had a plan. It's crazy, though, man. Crazy. I was engaged prior to this. I was engaged a year before. I seen her, but we didn't even say anything to each other.
Like before you came to Saskatchewan?
No, I was in Saskatchewan. 2018, I was engaged. And then next year, I wasn't engaged anymore. And I seen my wife in that time, that year, that 2018, at an Athletes in Action event at Mosaic Stadium. And seeing her, didn't say anything. I said, "God, wow, beautiful." She had three other sisters, two twins and another sister. But like, wow, beautiful, beautiful girl. And it kept going, right? And next year, man, the stars aligned. Let's just say that. The stars aligned, man. My wonderful team chaplain with the riders here, Jared Lacoste, man. He's he hooked us up basically. And he married us in his home I'm in now. We do ministry here. We've been doing ministry since October of 2022 in this house, in this basement here. House Church YQR, man, it's been awesome. Talking about baptisms, talking about prayers, you're seeing breakthroughs, you're seeing revival, young people coming to Christ. Yeah, man. And, you know, man, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing, and attains favor from the Lord. So without her, I'm nothing.
Come on.
You know what I mean? So I'm blessed.
When you first, just sort of jumping back a little bit, when you first went to Saskatchewan, your first major football thing there, what was that like faith-wise? Did you connect with people? Obviously, you said you had a chaplain. There was a chaplain there. What was that transition? Because, I mean, I know college football in the U.S. is huge. But now you're into this. Did it overwhelm you playing professional football at that point, faith-wise, or no, you just solid people there? And
nah, it didn't overwhelm me, man, but you know, it was a big transition of because the season's longer, right? How well do you stay focused? How well do you take care of your body, right? Just little smaller things, you know. To be a pro, you got to be really detailed. You got to be really detailed. And it's the small things that creates longevity. So for me, my first year, I was like, dang, I was getting banged up a little bit. I was missing a couple of games here and there, right? And just little small things. But, you know, I had great people around, great team chaplain. Just kept growing. Right. And sometimes you just got to hit your head. Right. As a young man, as a 24-year-old, and you know, I can reflect now that I was 24, now I'm 32. Right. And just looking at it. Right. Making mistakes. But then, you know, I learned from year one and year two. I made that jump. Right. And trying to be more consistent. So just experiencing. That's the best thing you can do is just that's the best life's teacher is experience. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Your family must have been super stoked for you.
Yeah.
Got the dream. Were they able to come up and see some games and just be part of all that?
Yeah, man. My family, I think it was 2018 playoff game. God works. This is how God works, man. This is awesome. Crazy story. But 2018, we played Winnipeg. Cold. It's so cold. I was frozen outside. Oh, my goodness. It was the Western semifinal game. And my dad comes to the game. He's the only person in the family that comes. He comes up and, yeah, man, I think it was like in the first quarter, I'm going to make a tackle. It's kind of icy on the ground. And Andrew Harris makes a cut. My arm goes out. I slip. dislocated, tore my labrum, season's over, playoff is over, but my dad is there. Right? And I'm like, man. And at the time, I'm like, man, I just want to do this 1 year. I'm going to the NFL. After this playoff run, I'm going. It's no doubt. Right? And I get hurt. I'm crushed. I'm trying to go back out. I go to the training table, try to wiggle it, try to pull it up. Ah, nope, shut it down. Done for the year. And I remember, man, my dad being there, man, and I needed him at that time because that's the person that started me on this journey. You know what I mean? Him and my mom. Can't forget mom because, man, she was the real deal. But my dad started me on this football journey, and for him to be right there at my lowest, I feel like I was at my lowest right there because I'm like, dang, I'm at ground zero once again. Here we go. But he was right there. And I remember my great aunt, my dad's aunt. She sent me this Bible verse in Ecclesiastics. Ecclesiastics 3. It's time and the season, right? For everything under the sun. And she sent me the whole shebang, right? The whole chapter. And she was like, don't question God. It was just your season for this to happen, right? A time to heal, time to break. It's a time, right? But that time doesn't last forever. It's just a season. It's just a moment, right? For me, so that right there, just my family, man. My family's always been grounded in faith. And those little small things right there that could take you a lifetime. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So just a bit ago, you said you've been doing ministry since, I can't remember the year that you said, but
at 2022.
And I heard that from our friend Adam Tisdale, that just so much that you guys have invested into the community and the people there. I know why we start, like, you know, the desire and stuff, but can you just shape that? What was that like for your wife and you to that desire to start that?
So, man, my wife, man, she's been like to India. She's been to the Crusades. She's been everywhere. She's an evangelist, right? But now we have kids, so she's not able to do it. But, yeah, man, when we got married, man, before we even got married, so crazy. I'm gonna take it all the way back. Like one of our first dates, we talked about how we wanted to be used by God and how we wanted to do ministry together. We didn't know what it would look like, right? And then fast forward just a couple months later, I leave from Saskatchewan 2019 and I'm going to the NFL and it's COVID. Right. So she's not able to cross the border. I can't cross the border. I'm signed with an NFL team at the time, the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders. And we get on the phone one night and, man, it's just like the Holy Spirit just took over and I was speaking and she was writing and ended up like talking about how he wanted to do ministry, house church. Right. And we fast forward a couple of years later, we get in this house. I think we get it February of 2022. We don't move in until June of 2022. And we just kept praying. We kept praying, God, show us, right? Show us, show us. And then finally in October of 2022, I think the first time down here in the basement, I think it was a family and a couple friends and a couple coworkers. That was it. And then after that, man, God just did his thing. People come from all over, right? All over the city, hearing about word of mouth or social media post or doing things like that. But man, just really just prayer. Just prayer and then envisioning it and then walking in obedience, right? And you know, hearing God as he gives you little detail by detail how to go about it.
Yeah. And so that grew into, so what are you guys doing right now?
Yeah, we're still doing house church. We're in a transition though, man. We're in a transition of moving. We just sold our house like a day ago. We just sold this house. We're still here in Saskatchewan, just on the outskirts of the city. But we're gonna transition here. It's gonna be bigger. But right now we're just in the transition of moving and everything like that. So House Church will be on fire this summer. We got an acreage, so it's gonna be amazing, man. We're gonna do baptisms Sundays. It's gonna be awesome.
Go
Yes,
baptisms.
sir. Yes, sir.
Derek, as you played for different teams,
Yeah.
how open were players? And I'm sure there was other Christians on different teams that you played in, but how open were, because you guys obviously are very close, it's teammates and stuff like that. So how open were other players when it
Yeah.
comes to sharing your faith in that?
Guys are open. It depends. So I give you examples. When I was in LA, right? I had a couple guys to talk about Jesus. I had a couple guys, impactful relationships. Edmonton, so-so. Saskatchewan, big. A couple teammates that are, man, I still talk to them to this day. But Calgary. Calgary, this past year, last season, oh my goodness. Man, Rod and Tyson, man, our two chaplains. Rod's been doing it for 20 some years, whatever. He's the OG in the CFL. But man, seeing guys talk about God, you're talking about phone calls, you're talking about getting together. We do like every day too. We do like Bible studies with each other. And you see 30 guys in there, first time praying, first time, talking about God, first time reading the word out loud with everybody. We're going about it, right? We're talking, we're in discussion. First time, well, second time, but first time in my pro career, I seen guys get baptized.
Wow.
And I said, man, yeah, I'm in the right spot. This is what it's all about, right? I don't care if I make another tackle or interception. I can go on and on right about that. But that right there, that's how I know I'm in the right spot,
Come on.
in the right organization with the right people, with the right men, right? So yeah, man, Calgary, those guys in their locker room, man, and we got the same guys coming back this year. So even more of Jesus, even more of Alberta or in that city, in that region, whatever, we're going about it. So yeah, it's awesome to see.
Great.
No.
We love that word here at Disciple City, that word
Yeah.
more.
More. More.
That's what we want,
Yes.
Lord. Just more.
No
Just
doubt.
more.
No doubt.
What's next for you? Obviously, you said you got a big move going on with the family, and that's tough with little kids too. Big move. But well, actually, before that,
Yeah.
I was just reading about the Calgary Stampeders President's Ring. That's a very cool award to have because it's voted by the peers.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Can you share in more detail what that and you know, what
Yeah.
that's about?
Yeah, so the President's Award is nominated to the guy that exemplifies what leadership, character, integrity, on and off the field, and performance is that's the thing, but it's the most important thing is that leadership quality, that character, bringing guys together, right? Being that fire that the team needs. Yeah, man, like this award, man, wow. I'm still blown away about it because I'm just me. Right? Some guys may try to be that or try to, do too much, not being their authentic selves. But for me, when they told me, I was just like, shut up. Like, I'm thinking like somebody else, a quarterback, or you know what I mean? Or somebody else. But man, I was so humbled to receive that award by that prestigious award by my teammates that voted for me, and then the organization, people seeing me each and every day, man, and you know, coming to work. I don't even call it work, really, because you're playing football, but you still have to show up, right, and be a business like mine. Showing up each and every day, man, and you know, being who I'm called to be. I always say this, man, let my light shine, let the God light shine within me so the world can see. And for me, man, it's a humbling thing. I don't take it lightly because I know God gave me certain gifts, and shame on me if I don't display them. Right. So just continue to walk in that and just humble by that, man. And hopefully we can do it again, year two, the President's ring times two. So.
Yeah, well, congratulations on that. That's really cool. That's
Yeah.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Your teammates and that see that. So going back to what I was asking you, or just before that, you're
Yeah.
moving, so a lot of big things on the family front there.
Yeah.
What's next in your heart, you and your
Yeah.
wife, coming down the road? Ministry wise, I mean, you talked about having some property and baptisms and stuff, but
Yeah.
what's in your heart for the next couple years for you and your family?
Ooh. Man, you know what? Really just really seeing God do some monumental things, not just in Canada, right? You're talking about missions work. That's what we're called to do. You know, just finding the time to do that, right? You know, it's busy, but you know, have to make time. And for us, man, just trying to, you know, trying to be vessels to the world, whether it's here in Saskatchewan, whether it's in wherever, India, whatever, we can go to Africa, Philippines, anywhere, Alabama, right? I would love to do something there and then connect. But really, man, just going about and leaving our footprints all over, right? And knowing that God is leading us to those certain areas, certain cities, or certain countries that really need it, right? And just being on fire for Jesus. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
Yes,
That's
sir.
awesome.
Yes, sir.
Derek, thanks so much for sharing your story with us and chatting with us today.
Yes, sir.
Just a lot to say about a grounded, faith-filled family, just supporting you throughout and encouraging you, and great wisdom from your dad too, dropping you off 18 and trusting in the Lord too, right? Because as a dad, I can picture your dad. It's like
Yeah.
you're 18 and you're on your own now. So here's the Bible, and all he can do is trust in the Lord and hope for the best, right?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's all you can do. That's good stuff.
But Derek, I just had one more question for you, man. You're now, you've been in there, you know the business, you're grounded in your faith, you're doing all this stuff with your wife. You talked about being really encouraged by others with wisdom and stuff. If a brand new player comes onto your team this year, who is a Christian, but you can see that they're just completely caught up in everything that the business is and the money and all that kind of stuff, and you can see that, you know, they're starting to make some bad choices and stuff. What encouragement would you have for them?
Ooh. You know what? Man, that's a good one. That's crazy because I just talked about this with a teammate yesterday. Man, you know, we all get off path, right? We all do. If you had TD Jakes on his line right now, he'll tell you he'll get off path too. Right? We might say the wrong thing. We may even think the wrong thing because that's just our flesh, right? But staying connected to the spirit, staying connected with God, surrounding yourself with people that are after God and seeking godly counsel, wise counsel at that, it can help you keep you on track. But you have to walk your own walk, right? At some point in time, you have to man up. Right, you got to face the music, and the only way you can do that is come to God each and every day. Right, be consistent, be diligent, and be persistent on your walk, man. You know, the good gonna outweigh the bad, man. Just keep your hand in God's hand and you'll be all right.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the time. You're awesome, man. This was a blast.
Yeah, great to hear your story and some wise words there.
Yes, sir.
Be blessed, my friend.
You too, brother. All righty.
Proverbs 3, some great wisdom there from Derek today. Just interesting. You know, you surround yourself by great people and it can help you stay on track with what the Lord wants you to do. And like Derek said, God has a plan. He always has a plan. You just need to be diligent and press in and lean into Him, whether the times are good or whether the times are bad. Thanks for listening, friends. We'll see you next week. Yeah.